Let's pray as we're standing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way in which the good news of Jesus spread so rapidly in those early days of the church. And we pray now that as we continue to look at this part of your word, you would encourage us, you would help us to see more of the vision that you lay before us, and that you would help us by your Spirit to be the people of God as you want us to be. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, last week, the Prime Minister, Theresa May, gave a big set-piece speech on the National Health Service on its 70th birthday. The bottom line was that the NHS would be what she called the number one spending priority of the government. Now, as always for a politician, the speech was controversial, and people have asked, where will the extra money come from? What does making health this sort of priority mean for other frontline services like education, national security and the police and so on? Well, working out priorities is going to be key in many areas of life, not least, as we see in our final instalment from the early chapters of the book of Acts, in the life of the Christian community, the church. Since Easter, we've been looking at this dynamic account of the growth of the first Christian church after Jesus had died, risen again, ascended to rule at God's right hand, and sent the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who believe in him. Luke's Gospel Part 2, as Acts could well be described, shows what Jesus continued to do and teach through the apostles. It is then not so much the Acts of the apostles as the Acts of the risen Jesus by the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Now, over recent weeks, we've seen the early Christians in Jerusalem faced many challenges. Challenges from outside their number as they faced persecution and opposition, especially from the religious establishment. But also there were challenges from within, as we saw with the lies and tricks of Ananias and Sapphira. But despite these pressures, the spread of the good news of Jesus was unstoppable. As chapter 5 verse 14 puts it, and more than ever believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Well, the apostles and the church members, even though they faced many pressures, were able to go about their business of being witnesses to Jesus, according to his commission to point others to him in their home city of Jerusalem, and then the wider region, and then ultimately to the end of the earth. So chapter 5 ends, then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonour for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ or Messiah. Well, chapter 6 that we read this morning, which is on page 1101, opens with another challenge. Verse 1, now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. See, this first church, whilst largely at this stage made up of people with a Jewish heritage, was nonetheless culturally diverse. Some who had come to believe that Jesus was the Messiah were Hebrews. That is, they spoke Hebrew as a language, and they came from Jerusalem or nearby. And yet others were Hellenists, that is, Greek-speaking Jews, many of whom had come from elsewhere in the Roman Empire. Now, it seems that some of the needy people in the church, widows, were being neglected. In particular, the Greek speakers felt that their needy were being left out or ignored at the expense of the Hebrew speakers. Now, we don't know why this was happening, but it seems that some sort of favouritism was being worked out. Perhaps it was even a sort of racism where one group thought that they were more important than another. But it was also a problem of growth, as the disciples were increasing in number and they were struggling to support everyone. Well, this was a real issue of providing care and love for those who would have had no means to provide for themselves, nor a social security safety net. Something that had so characterised this new community, as we saw in chapter 4, with the financial support and encouragement given to the needy, and something that is to mark Jesus' people from his call to love one another as I have loved you, was now not happening. So what was to be done? Well, the 12 apostles give the lead, and they set two priorities for the life of the church. And we see, firstly, that teaching God's word and prayer are vital. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." You see, there's a reminder here that though we do not have apostles with us now, those with the task of leading in the church have a priority to teach God's word and to pray for God's people and for the message to go out. So whatever other important tasks there are, must not stop this from happening. How else will the church family be built up spiritually and others hear the good news explained? Well, the rest of the church community must encourage those who share God's word in teaching, in church and in groups, and with different age groups and home groups, and to continue to do this. We need to encourage them to give time to do it, and not to be so tied up with other tasks that they're unable to make this a priority. The apostles make clear what the priority is for those who lead spiritually in the church. It's there in verse 4. "We will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And that should be reflected amongst us as a local church. Well, this key prayer priority goes with another, and that is that practical care and love are vital. Having made the clear priority of teaching the word of God, the apostles do not ignore the problem of providing for the needy amongst the church community. A plan was needed, not only to make sure that there was care, but also to avoid damaging conflict that could arise amongst church members. Of course, we're all a bit sensitive if someone slights our background, but it gets much more serious if we feel that there is an injustice because of where we come from, or discrimination because of our social background, our nationality, or our accent. You can just imagine here that things were tense because some felt that their relatives were not getting proper support because they spoke the wrong language. If this was not addressed, the unity and witness of the church was at stake. So verse 2, "And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.'" These vulnerable women, these widows in the church family, needed practical care. They needed help to keep the proverbial wolf from the door and have enough to eat. Well, given the priority of the ministry of the word and prayer for the leaders, others needed to be appointed to help to coordinate a care plan. "Therefore, brothers," verse 3, "pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." So they were to look for suitable church members whose character would be fitting for them to make the necessary arrangements. Now, interestingly, because the concerns were practical, did not mean that the qualifications for this new care ministry team were not spiritual. Far from it. They were to be, verse 3, "of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom." And one of those eventually chosen is described in verse 5 as full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. So these practical, caring people must commend the good news of Jesus and show signs that they would be able to organise things and act in sensitive, wise and caring ways with the help of God himself. Well, the care plan was met with approval. Verse 5. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. Now it seems that the church family were involved in finding suitable people. We're told they, that is all of them, chose Stephen. And interestingly, they all have Greek-sounding names. A good way to overcome the grievances of the Greek speakers who felt that their needy women weren't being taken seriously. Well, what happened there in the church in Jerusalem in these early days is a good illustration of the importance of providing caring support in a church community. And being a church that cares is vital as part of our witness too. If we care for one another, well, then it illustrates God's love for us and the love that God has for others that they might not yet fully appreciate. Well, here at All Saints, there is a lot of caring and support going on informally and through home groups and other ways. But we could improve on this. And we should take this priority more seriously still. It seems to me that, like here in Jerusalem, the time has come for us to have a more strategic plan for caring. So can I ask that we'd be thinking and praying about who we know in the church community who might be suitable to help to take a lead in caring and visiting and looking out for those in need amongst us. We need to add to our pastoral care team. So do please speak to me if you can think of people who would be good at that so that we can make progress in this area. Well, we've seen much over the last few weeks as we've looked at the book of Acts about how the early Christians found themselves part of a significant new movement. They'd started very small in number, but having been commissioned by the risen Jesus to be his witnesses with the strength of the Holy Spirit, the good news started to go out. Now, reading this morning, chapter 6 brings to an end what many think is the first section of the book of Acts, as we hear the words of chapter 6, verse 7. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Now, gospel growth is ultimately God's work, and yet the two priorities that we've seen this morning are a part of it. Just think of a family with small children. It's not a question of making sure that they are either given a good education and learn about people and what we often call life skills, or that they are fed and clothed and provided for physically. Now, of course, both are vital. And both of these sorts of principles are vital in the church community. Both spiritual feeding through the Word of God and practical care being worked at. So if the word of God is to increase in and through our church family here in Ferriby, we need key priorities. Teaching God's word and prayer are vital, and practical care and love are also vital. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we've seen of the spread of the gospel in those early days. And we thank you that you have given to us your word and your spirit. And this gospel message can continue to spread even in our part of the world. We pray you'd help us here to be founded on your word and to care and to love one another. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.